Welcome to Now Church. But so glad you're here with us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better. Thanks for being here.
I hope you love the Bible. I hope you love the Word of God like I do. This book has changed my life. This book is not just a history book. This book is not just a book of numbers and prophecies. This is a book of messages. It's a love letter from heaven to earth. It's the promises of God that speaks more clearly into our daily lives than the newspaper or back when we had newspapers. But you know what I mean. It speaks more than the internet. You get more than information in this book. You get words to live by, words that will change your life and help you in every day of your life. Today we finish our series on core values called Run to Win. Today is Winning Essentials. Let's go over we have 12 foundation stones. We'll give you the final three today. Let's look at the first nine that we've given you so far. Connection, prayer, spiritual growth, reaching others, faith life, impacting the nations, honor, worship and praise, and serving others. Our final three core values all work seamlessly together. I thought of this thing. I woke up with this thing the other morning because a lot of things a lot of good things come in threes. Okay, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's a number. So I woke up with this picture of a three-legged stool. A lot of times, you know, you don't realize how important it is. You know, a three-legged stool, four-legged stool is almost always going to be wobbly. A three-legged stool is going to be strong as long as the legs are equal. And our three things today, our three core values today are integrity, prosperity, and generosity. One or two legs won't work. One leg, longer or shorter, throws everything off. But if you have three equal legs in a three-legged stool, you've got something stable, something solid, and something strong. So these are seamless today. We're going to give you those things. So number 10, if you're still keeping notes, number 10, I hope you are. Number 10 is integrity, integrity. The word integrity doesn't sound exciting, but the word integrity simply means, the dictionary definition is this, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, or virtuous. To me, that means a lot of things, but I think of truthfulness. Here's one of the things I think of when I think of integrity, authenticity. Authenticity. I tell you, value systems, even in the young generation today, is be authentic. Don't play a game. Don't wear a mask. So authenticity is part of that. Faithfulness and dependability. Listen, dependability means if I say I've got your back, I've got your back. If you say you got mine, you got mine. Part of integrity is that we cover each other. That we cover each other. We're there. We show up when we say we're going to show up. Amen? Now, look at Proverbs 11, verse 3 from the New International Version says this. The integrity of the upright guides them, watch that, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. I like this definition because it shares a couple things. First of all, integrity means you have a strong moral compass. It guides you. The integrity will guide you. The Holy Spirit will guide you when you have a strong moral compass. We live in a generation with blurred lines, so many gray areas, so many things. Well, you know, the Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. There's a place in our generation where we desperately need discernment. We need to be able to look at something, hear something, and have discernment of to whether, because a lot of people will promise you the sun, moon, and stars, and you don't, and they don't have integrity. They're just giving you words. So this scripture says the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Duplicity means, simply think about that word duplicity, duplicitous, living a double life, two-faced, deceitful, fraudulent. Like somebody who comes to church and acts one way, and then they go to school or they go to work Or they go hang out with their drinking buddies and they're doing, and they act another way. That's duplicitous living. The Bible says when you have integrity, you're authentic and you're consistently yourself. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're consistently yourself. You don't have to wear a mask here. I heard in other churches they wear masks and things and act religious on Sundays. I'm glad to say in this church we have no duplicitous people. Everyone lives a consistent and pure life. Amen. Billy Graham, there's a quote that I keep in my list of quotes. I refer to it once in a while, just even in my devotions. Billy Graham said this. He said, integrity is the glue that holds our way of life together. We must constantly strive to keep our integrity intact. When wealth is lost, nothing's really lost. When health is lost, something is lost. But when character is lost, all is lost. My friends, gifts and talents will open many doors, but only good character keeps them open. Your talents may open a big door, but if you're a jerk in real life, then your jerkiness is going to be exposed at some point, and it's going to cost you that door that you thought was open, that you thought you opened. Understand, integrity is what keeps you there. Integrity forms the foundation. People need to learn to value character over charisma during election season. Excuse me, election season. We need to learn to trust character, not words and endless promises of knuckleheads that want to give you something for nothing. Thank you for that overwhelming response. I'm not talking about a political party. I'm talking about an ideology, but I'm talking about the reality is that there's a whole bunch of people out there that during election, they'll promise you everything. And they never tell you how it's going to get paid for. Because I'll tell you this, when somebody wants to give you something without integrity, they're going to take something far more. A lot of people are going to promise you all this free stuff, and at the other end, you give up your freedom. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We need to trust in God and believe Him. Amen? Amen? How do you conduct your life when nobody else is looking? That's integrity. Hidden. The Bible calls it the hidden man of the heart, the hidden person of the heart. What's your fruit? The integrity of heart is the price for the next core value we're going to talk about as we shift to the word prosperity, number 11. But I want to kind of weave them together in Psalm 84, verse 11. Watch this. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Aren't you glad? Watch this. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk how? Uprightly in with integrity. If you walk with integrity, no good thing will God withhold from you at the right time. At the right time. That's important that you realize that. He's not going to, God doesn't just give you everything and load you up all at once before you can handle it and watch you be destroyed with it. No. You have to build your integrity. God can only give you what He can trust you to manage well. In fact, I'll say it this way. Whatever you have or do not have now is based on what God knows you can handle. Listen, some people get self-destructive, okay? Money doesn't cause a person to go crazy. How many know the Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil? That's not what it says. It says the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. What money does is it supercharges and empowers you to take the quick lane to everything that's already inside of you. Whatever you value comes out when you get blessed, when you get some money. What happens is a lot of people get exposed. I was watching some of the, you know, college football started yesterday. And the college players now get paid lots of money like the pros do. In fact, some of the guys that didn't make the pros are trying to come back into college. Anyway, I'll save my opinion on that one. But anyway, the reality is that they're all standing there with, you know, $500,000 necklaces on. Can I just tell you? Thank God He didn't give me millions of dollars when I was 18 years old. I just tell you, I didn't waste it. I wouldn't have anything today anyway, right? What happens is a lot of times, you know, aren't you glad you didn't get millions of dollars dumped on you at 21? Now, three of you excited about it. Anyway, Somebody said, I've been through all the tests with poverty. I'm ready to be tested with some abundance. It's still a test, though. That's what I'm telling you. It's still a test. Number 11 is prosperity. I've been talking about the last few weeks, one of our values is part of being is staying on the highway of truth. For every doctrine, there's a highway of truth, and there's a series of ditches on both sides. And the reality is that the word prosperity is one of those truths that divides the highway. It's one of those truths where people stand on either side in extremism and try to scream about, you know, the word prosperity has been hijacked by extremists on both sides of the road. One side that screams that God wants everyone to be dirt poor so they can remain humble and holy. That's a lie. The other shrieks, God wants everybody to be millionaires with mansions, yachts, and caviar. That's a lie too. I don't believe either of those, but I believe this. He wants to bless you with enough so you have a margin, so you can take care of some other people, help some other people in some other times in their lives. Our friend Charles Neiman from El Paso, Texas said this years ago. He said, if poverty is so holy, then why doesn't God live in it? In heaven, gold is used for pavement. And pearls that are miles wide are used for gates. See, we get this mindset. It's all based on earthly looking and not trusting God for what he says and for what the word actually says. One side on this highway of truth preaches poverty as virtue, and the other preaches avarice or excess as virtue, and neither of those are virtuous. The virtuous thing is that prosperity is a Bible word and is not just about money. Hear me. Prosperity is a Bible word and it's not just about money. It's not. The problem is we get our eyes on it or get our hearts on it and we misunderstand it and then we get nervous about it. Prosperity is about resources for a purpose. Resources for a purpose. Prosperity means literally having enough to accomplish the purpose for which something is sent. Having enough resource to fulfill what it started out for. I'll give you an example. One of the ways that the word prosper or prosperity is used in the Old Testament is in Isaiah 54:17, which is a verse about prayer and spiritual warfare. And what does it say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's not talking about gold and silver and diamonds. No weapon formed against you shall prosper means it shall not have the fuel or all the resources it needs to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent to destroy you. It doesn't have that. Are you understanding? So prosperity and poverty, it's a bigger issue than we think about sometimes. So prosperity is having enough to accomplish. Did you know the Bible contains nearly 2,500 references to money, wealth, and possessions? 2,500 different verses of scripture or passages about money, wealth, and possessions. And yet, over 90% of pastors in churches ignore the subject of money because they know it makes people uncomfortable. If the Bible is loud about something, we got to be loud about it. If it's quiet about something, we need to be quiet about it, right? We've got to be consistent with the Word of God. And so I'll just tell you, I'm not afraid to talk about it because we're not trying to take it from you. We're trying to help you to get it for your resources, for the kingdom of God, and for your benefit. We're trying to get you to prosper and be a good success even as your soul prospers. That's the promise of God. Jesus, over 15% of his teachings were about principles of financial stewardship or resource management. 15%. Do you want to ignore 15% of what Jesus talked about just because you're nervous about it or you're these money-grubbing preachers? Can I tell you, most of the preachers I've met, I've been in ministry almost 40 years, most of the preachers I've met went into ministry and have stayed in ministry because they want to serve God and serve people, not for anything else, some dubious thing. But everybody wants to react. You hear about a bad, you know, car salesman, but you still drive a car, don't you? You hear about some industry where somebody does something wrong. Well, yes, in our industry, in our place, in our church, in our kingdom, in our family, people do some stupid things sometimes and talk about, you know, raising money for this, that, or the other thing. I'm just telling you, that's not what we do. In 36 years, I can tell you the people that have been around the whole time will tell you this is true. We have never begged for money here, and we're not going to start now because we're children of God. We're believing, we're trusting. There are needs sometimes that we share, but we never beg. Why? Because if somebody comes on, I determined years ago, somebody comes on TV and says, you know, if you don't give, you know, $1,000 this week, we're gonna shut the doors. I always said, shut the door. Shut the door then. Why? Because God takes care of his own kids. He is a provider. He is a good father, right? God wants to bless you for the purpose of entrusting you to be a blessing. Genesis 12:2 says this. God says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. The purpose is right there in the whole thing. God says, I'll bless you, I'll give you a good reputation, and you'll be a blessing. How many know you can't be a blessing with stuff you don't have enough of for yourself? You can't be a blessing to somebody if you're in an area where you don't have enough for yourself. God wants to bless you, but he wants to entrust you to bless others. How much wealth can you handle without self-destructing? That's the issue. I want everything God has for me. How about you? But I don't want so much that it destroys me from the evil desires that creep up within me. Listen, we all have flesh. We all have selfishness in the core once in a while that tries to rear its ugly head. Huge amounts of resources coming at you at times will reveal what was there all along. What you and I have to do as we grow older is refine the purpose for which we want to thrive and prosper. Can you say amen? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he had everything in heaven. But for your sakes, he became poor, came to earth as a little baby, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now you say, Pastor, see, that's riches right there. That's riches. Yeah, but the word in Greek doesn't mean that you got gold jewelry hanging off your toes and your nose. The word rich there means this, abundantly well supplied. How many believe God wants you to be abundantly well supplied? Let me ask you this. How many of you have kids? Okay. Let's be honest. How many would prefer, not only would you not mind it, you'd actually want it that your kids have a better start in life financially and every way than you did or you do? You wouldn't mind that, you'd actually prefer it. Well, the Bible says that's exactly the way our Heavenly Father feels about us. That's what the promise of God is. That Jesus took our poverty so we might be abundantly well supplied. Remember, the enemy's greatest desire, Jesus revealed in John 10:10, he said the thief, the devil, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give my people life in superabundance till it overflows. That's the promise of God. The nature of the enemy is to steal. Think about it. Until the last 50, 60 years, there was no teaching hardly for the last 2,000 years on the body of Christ even being blessed. It was considered forbidden. It was considered sin. No, we want everybody to be holy, so we want everybody to be poor. What a lie from the pit of hell. If you can keep the people of God, let me tell you something. Money is neither good nor evil, right? Money is not moral or immoral. It takes on the personality of the one who's spending the money or the one who has the money. So the problem is not that, the problem has been that the wrong people have more of the money than they're supposed to have. Drug dealers shouldn't be more prosperous in Ocala than the body of Christ. That's wrong. Are you hearing me? That's wrong. Why? Because they're not going to use their money to help people that are in need. They're not going to use their money to help under the humanitarian mission. They're not going to use their money that way. Why? Because it's all about greed. That's avarice. When we have the proper understanding, and that's really what it's about. It's about your mindset. Our Heavenly Father wants His kids to thrive, not just survive. Luke 11 says this. Jesus said, if you, being of a sinful nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to His kids, you? God is a good Father. He wants to provide for His people. Don't you want your children to have a better life? Don't you want them? Listen, one of my favorite quotes is Warren Buffett, one of the top five wealthiest men in the world, is now in his 90s. And he said this years ago. He said, I want to leave my children an inheritance that leaves them enough so they can do anything, but not so much that they can do nothing. See? Sometimes inherited wealth means you just sit back and you act like a jerk. Spoiled brat. God doesn't want spoiled brats. He wants to bless His kids so they can redistribute His goodness out there to the world, to people that are going through some stuff, right? The word prosperity is in the Bible. You got to meditate on it. You got to chew on it according to Joshua 1:8. The Bible says God wants you to make your way prosperous and be a good success, but you got to chew on the word. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you'd prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And that's where I'm going to land on this part of number 11 today. And that is, what does a prosperous soul look like? He says, I want you to leave that up there for a second. I pray in all things that you would prosper. What's prosperity? Having enough to accomplish your purpose. And be in health, even to the degree that your soul prospers. What is your soul? Your soul is not your spirit. It's not. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and your imagination. It's your thinking. It's your thought life. John writes there, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your whole mind and your mindset begin to prosper in the things of God and see His love for you, that you would take that love and redistribute it to others. That's the whole purpose, that He's refining us and giving us proper motivation. Listen, poverty and prosperity are both mindsets. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I submit to you that many in the room were brought up in a place where a lot of financial things, values in our lives are formed between the ages of 0 and 10 years old. That age, what your parents' attitude is, if they're constantly, maybe you grew up in a family with addiction problems, and there was never enough money, and they're always trying to get it from somebody else. Those things try to get down and affect you, and affect the roots in the family tree. And what happens, I was talking to a lady the other day from, she's a friend of mine. My wife and I were talking to her. She's from Colombia, South America, lives here in Florida now. And we're talking to her, and she said she was taught by her grandmother, who was spiritual, but not necessarily Christian. There's a difference. Are you here today? You're kind of quiet. Are you freaking out because we're talking about money or what? Anyway, she said her grandmother's very religious, very spiritual, but didn't know Jesus. She consulted all these different cards and stuff like that. So it's spiritual, but that's not Jesus. So she said that her grandmother said to her as a little girl all the time, don't ever accept a gift from anybody. We don't, in our family, we have pride. We don't accept gifts. And she said, well, if you're invited to somebody's house and they ask you, would you like dinner? Would you like some food? Would you like a drink? No, you always turn them down. Why? Because in our family, we don't, can I tell you something? That pride is not just in rich people. Pride is also in poor people. Because pride is not based on the amount of money you have in the bank. In fact, prosperity is not the amount you have in the bank. It's about your mindset. Prosperity, I submit to you, prosperity is being able to lay your head down on your pillow at night with peace and going to sleep. That's part of prosperity, right? Not worried about stuff all the time. Isn't that prosperity? Life prosperous. So it's about all these things, but it's a mindset. And this lady said that this one time somebody offered her, they offered her a glass of water as she's visiting someone's home. She said, after she gave her life to Jesus, she said, I said, no, can't do that. And then she's like, why can't I accept a drink of water from a friend in their home? She realized grandma was not right. Grandma was wrong. Sometimes we get a lot of these stuff, these poverty and prosperity are mindsets that are passed down generationally. And you have to deal with those things. Isaac in the Bible sowed in famine and reaped 100-fold in this life and began, the Bible says in one verse, he began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, this is in Genesis 26. Three times prosperity is mentioned in one verse in the Old Testament. Before Jesus even went to the cross and made everything available. Listen, more prosperity is more about your thought life than your bank balance. Deuteronomy 8:18 from the God's Word translation is this, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he, the one who makes you wealthy. He's confirming the promise which he swore to your ancestors, and it is still in effect today. This is the God's Word translation. I love that. Remember the Lord your God. Don't forget, when you get a little something, that it wasn't you who got it. It was God who gave it to you. And it was for a reason. God doesn't mind you having some nice stuff. He just doesn't want nice stuff having your heart. He knows you want something nice. Just don't hang on to it too tightly. It's not the way that you feed your soul. In fact, your soul will be bankrupt in that. Be thankful and glorify the Lord for every increase. Prosperity is having more than enough margin to meet your needs and then help somebody else that has less than you do. Margin. Everybody say margin. Margin just means that here's what you bring in and here's what you spend. And that little space between there and there is called margin. Some of it's for savings, some of it's for sowing a seed, giving. Tithe is always holy, it's always the first tenth, that's always God's. But as we pivot now into the final thing, which is number 12, generosity, these things all work together. It's a three-legged stool. Everybody say integrity. Everybody say prosperity. Say generosity. These are all parts of the same type of truth. The third vital leg of the three-legged stool is generosity. It's connected to integrity because it continually refines our motivation for prospering in the first place. Generosity becomes the kingdom outflow of God's blessing on your life. I love this verse in Isaiah 32:8. But a generous man devises or thinks about generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. You know what? You want to know what happens when you go through a storm? You go through something financial, a crunch, a loss of a job, loss of a loved one, something happens financially. We all go through that from time to time. But God's best is not that you live in it. If you're living in constant or chronic lack and poverty, that is not God's best. There is something spiritual that is attached to your life that you need to break in Jesus' name. I'm going to preach to the guitars over here. I want you to get this. This is so crucial. God wants to bless you. Listen, how many of you work a job? How many work a job outside the home? Okay. Do you go there because they're nice and you enjoy it? Maybe on Friday, but not on Monday. No, you go there, why? They're going to pay you to be there. But here's the thing. Are you working for a living or working for a life? Because if you're just working to pay a mortgage or pay rent, you're not living. Prosperity is living with the big picture in mind. I am a redistributor. God wants me blessed. I am not supposed to be with poverty nipping in my heels all the time. Bill collectors always calling me, messing with my peace. Listen, the chastisement, the punishment for my peace was upon him, Isaiah 53 says, and by his stripes I'm healed. What's my peace? My peace is the stuff I worry about, the stuff that concerns me, the stuff that bothers me. Listen, money is not the answer for everything, but money, resources will help you to overcome and be who God called you to be in the first place. But you've got to look at it as your responsibility, not just your right. You have a right to be blessed. You have a responsibility to be blessed. Because if you don't, who's going to build the kingdom of God? I said this first service, and I'll just say this. I know we're on live stream, but I'll just say it. There are a lot of churches where you can go, and they'll never talk about money. If that's what you want, they won't talk about money. They won't make you uncomfortable. They'll never talk about repentance. And it's real, real cheap to be there because they never want to build anything. This is not that church. If you need that church, we'll be happy to introduce you to there's several in town where they won't. I'm just telling you, for 36 years, I have not shied away from the truth or the whole counsel of God because that's part of my responsibility. Amen. To model it for you and to preach to you the truth that affects you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, not just something that gives you a little goosebump on Sunday morning. I'm not a motivational speaker. I hope I'm motivating. I hope I encourage you, but I'm not a motivational speaker. That's not why I'm here. I wasn't called to get up and give you 3 points in a poem. I was called to give you the word of God. Now, as I close, I want to give you 2 quick thoughts. One, maybe you're wondering why Pastor Lindsay, our senior associate and worship pastor, is missing a second straight week. Wow, what a crazy thing. Last week, this time last week, he was in Lincoln, Nebraska, and what a mighty blessing he was in Lincoln, Nebraska. And so we would never let him miss 2 weeks in a row. Except, prosperity is not just, and generosity is not just money. It's using resources to bless others. About 3 weeks ago, our dear friend, Pastor Micah Gay, Micah and Chelsea were here a few years ago, young pastors in Crestview, Florida, out in the Panhandle. They have a new building. We were there a few years ago. They need a new building desperately. They got a new building. They bought it. Pastor Micah decided to save some money for the church by doing some of the installation of lighting and wiring and stuff himself. So 3 weeks ago yesterday, he was up in the ceiling, and the ceiling crashed through, and he fell 15 feet on his face on concrete and nearly died. He was unconscious for, they said, at least a minute or two, completely unconscious. They made him lay there till paramedics could get there. They got him breathing again. You put that picture up, just show you what it. So this is when he first got injured. This is when he went to the hospital. This is a face that we know and love these guys. I've known him since literally he was 1 month old when his parents first came here to preach. His 1 month birthday. He's now 34. And good friends of ours. And I said, you know, I texted him and I said, we want to help. What do you need? Well, first of all, they needed somebody that knew what they were doing to get up in the ceiling. So our tech guys went that week immediately and fixed the whole grid and all the stuff. So thank God for that. What a blessing. Give it up for our Proton Global guys. That's a blessing. But we've been talking, he and I have been talking once or twice a week, and he called me this past Wednesday. He said, Pastor Richard, he said, I've still got some leakage or seepage on the brain. I don't even want to know what that is, but it's not a brain bleed, but there's something still not right. He broke his nose. He broke the bone around his eye. I mean, it's a serious mess. And he called me Wednesday, and he said, I hate to bother you, but I had offered that maybe at some point I could come or Pastor Lindsay could come and preach for him out in Crestview. And he called me Wednesday and he said, Pastor Rich, can you send Pastor Lindsay? I said, oh man, he just got back from Nebraska. That's a big favor. And I hung up. I went to talk to Pastor Lindsay. I talked to my wife, and we were going to text back. You know, it really isn't a good week. And the Lord just spoke to our hearts. Generosity is not just money. Generosity is taking the resources that you're blessed with and using them to help somebody else. So PL is one of our best seeds. So he's preaching right now two services in Crestview, Florida, out in the Panhandle, just above nine. So yeah, give it up for Pastor Lindsay. Can't wait till you get home, PL. And finally, this week with our missions team being in Honduras, San Pedro Sula, Honduras, we took 10 people from here, 10 from Boston, and 10 from London, three churches together working on our team. And they, on Thursday, Pastor Chris and I have been talking just about every night. He's been FaceTiming. And Thursday afternoon, they went to an orphanage in Honduras. So Pastor Chris is starting to tell me, he's starting to get choked up. He said, this little girl about 6 or 7 years old saw me and came up. She grabbed my hand and started speaking to me in Spanish. He said, I don't speak Spanish. He said, I'm trying to tell her. I don't understand. So she just pulled him over to a swing set and asked him to put her up in a swing and to push her and play with her on the swing. So he was touched. He said, when she was done with the swing, he said, bye-bye. And she said, no, no. And she grabbed his hand again, and she took him over to where Layla, one of our young ladies in our church, was doing face painting for kids at the orphanage. And so she went over, got her face painted, and Pastor Chris said, okay, bye. She said, no, no. She said, sit there. And so she made Pastor Chris sit there, and then she asked Layla to do something on her hand, a heart on her hand. And then she put Pastor Chris's hand. She said, I want him to have the same heart. Yeah, I know. So I said, Pastor Chris is about to lose it telling me on FaceTime. And I'm like, you're not trying to bring her back, are you? You know, he said, I want to bring them all back. But anyway, that's not even the most touching part of the story. When they were done, the leader that has the orphanage there said, that girl's a miracle. She was dropped off here by a handicapped mother who couldn't raise her. And she had no name. And the mother asked us to name her. And he said that when she came, she was paralyzed in her feet and she couldn't speak as a little baby. And now she's 6 or 7 years old. Pastor Chris said, what happened? She's running around and she's talking my ear off. They said, when Jesus got a hold of this girl and she feels the love of God. They said, we don't know the trauma she must have endured. She came in crawling on her hands and pulling limp legs behind her. And now she's healed. She's running around. So here's the kicker. Pastor Chris said to me, he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, Pastor Richard, I got to tell you. He said, I had a moment. He said, I just said, God, for the rest of my life, I need more resources because I want to help take care of kids like this and the others that you show me around the world. That's prosperity. That's integrity, prosperity, generosity. When you get that three-legged stool in balance in your life, you will never, ever, ever be the same. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as we pray? Father, thank you for your word, your truth. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be a part of sending Pastor Chris and that team of 27. So grateful for what you've done through them this week. Now, let their planes be on time and bring them home. Get them all home safely to Boston, to Ocala, to London, England. Thank you for changing us through their experience. In the name of Jesus, now I pray for everyone in this room hearing the sound of my voice, everyone watching online, and I come against that family curse, that generational family tree of wrong attitudes towards money and finance. First, we come against pride and we declare repentance. And we say, poverty, you have no right to nip at the heels of the children of God, for we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed for reasons beyond just for ourselves. We are blessed to help those kids, to help other people. We are blessed to go to the nations. We're blessed to fulfill these core values. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed to build a new auditorium the next few years. We're blessed. We're blessed for this. We're blessed for this purpose, to see more people populate heaven and be delivered from hell. Now, in Jesus' name, if you're one of those people that you realize that some attitudes have gotten on you, that you are going, that you've been going through chronic lack. I'm not saying you've gone through a few bad weeks. I'm saying if you're going through chronic lack, that is the enemy for sure. And in Jesus' name, we lay the axe to the root of that tree and we chop it down and we say, come off of them, go from them. We release the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and he adds no sorrow with it. We proclaim blessing, abundance, prosperity, integrity, generosity for the purpose of God in Jesus' name. Be who God has called you to be so you can do what he's called you to do, to look beyond your own life and help other people that are hurting and broken and point them to Jesus. I charge you as your pastor to be better off 12 months from now than you are today for his purpose, not for your stuff, not to make you look good, but to make him look good. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, increase, and take dominion as you were born to do. Everybody look at your hands right now. Just put your hands in front of you. Just say, these hands are blessing magnets. These hands are empowered to be the hands of Jesus in love, in power, in healing, in his presence, and in every resource being met. I prophesy to these hands in Jesus' name, you are blessed. And the curse of the enemy has no power over you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you get that today? Amen. Give the Lord a great shout. Amen.
We're so glad you joined us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better, view our calendar, and experience our online campus live or on demand. Thanks again, and see you soon.